Welcome everyone to the October 26th meeting of the Sussex County Council. First item is the approval of the agenda. Mr. Baker, do you have any changes?
Yes, I do have a suggested change under executive session. We do not have any personnel or land acquisition items.
Just getting sued. Any other changes from council? Motion to approve the agenda as amended?
You got it.
Second, all in favor say aye.
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 In your packet was the October 12th minutes from the other week. Were there any changes or comments? If not, we'll consider them approved. Mr. Moore, do you have any correspondence?
Mr. President, I have two in regards to the Health Awareness Week. One's from Leona Smith, and it is to Bonnie Wooten. I would like to compliment you girls once again for doing an excellent job on getting together the displays for this year's Health Awareness Week. I know that you do a lot of hard work, and you all desire a lot of credit for, I think you should be deserve a lot of credit for your hard work. Thank you for your outstanding job, and I appreciate all that you do. The second one is from Susan Wise to Denise Draper, carbon copy of Bonnie Wooten. I would like to say a big thank you to the Personnel Department for the wonderful job that they have done this with Health Awareness Week, and this year was no exception. There is a lot of work and time that goes into events such as this, in addition to your normal workloads, and as a county employee, I appreciate your effort. I believe this is third year of the event, and each year I find helpful and educational information at several of the various vendors. Whether it's a flu shot, getting blood pressure taken, cholesterol screening, obtaining literature, or just picking up some freebies, I find this event enlightening and informative. It doesn't hurt to mention the added bonus of door prizes that lucky recipients are awarded throughout the week. I hope to see this event continue, and thank you and the council for allowing it to occur and the Personnel Department for their hard work to make this happen. The last is a letter from Kevin Gilmore to the County Council. Mr. Baker, thank you for the opportunity to update you on Sussex County Habitat for Humanity's recent and future activities. We are so appreciative of the close partnership you have extended to us in the past and look forward to our continuing collaborative relationship. There are so many families in need of affordable housing in the county that every initiative and innovation to address this need deserves our collective attention. Since I was with you on October 5th council meeting, we have moved a Habitat partner family into the temporary housing on Springfield Lane. This is one of the vacant homes you made available to Habitat for this purpose. The other home is being used for AmeriCorps volunteer housing. Also on Saturday, October 16th, nearly two dozen county workers came to our job site in Laurel and volunteered for the day. Thanks to everyone for volunteering, and including Dave Baker and Michael Vincent. As I mentioned, you've been instrumental in many ways facilitating our ability to serve the community. You may have noticed that we have responded by setting an ever-increasing set of goals and challenges to help more and more families through a greater variety of programs. To achieve this goal, we're relying on the matrix of funding sources I outlined in our four-year plan, including the establishment of a $700,000 four-year annual fund from local community members and businesses. This is new for us, and we're specifically looking for additional avenues or ideas in how we might engage more of the community. To this end, number one, please let us know of any other venues or community groups you think you might be interested in learning more about Habitat and for our four-year plan. Two, we are putting together an advisory committee which meets twice a year. We would love for each of you to be part of that committee and help us guide to better serve the community. We recognize this may be a busy time to contemplate your response to these requests. Therefore, I've asked Ted Fisher, who is heading up our advisory committee, to follow up personally with each of you after the election, see if we can answer any questions or follow up on any ideas you may have. Again, thank you very much for your time and consideration in faith and service. Kevin J. Gilmore, Executive Director. And that is all the correspondence.
Council, have any correspondence they'd like to share? I'll turn the meeting over to Mr. Baker.
This is the first item. Thank you. First item is the 2011 schedule and it includes the holiday schedule for the county council as well as for employees. The top sheet shows the proposed schedule for county employees, and the bottom sheet reflects the proposed county council schedule for holidays. Both schedules were put together by Mrs. Griffith, and reflect basically our current holiday makeup.
It's her wish list. It's a Griffith's wish list.
Yes.
No, I wasn't at Valentine's Day, but I did.
Were you?
Is her birthday on it again this year?
No, not yet.
But there are 13 county employee holidays, as in the past few years. This year, because it's Election Day, we have 15 because of Election Day and Return Day. However, we're back to 13 next year. It is comparable to the states, as you can see. The state does offer two floating days instead of President's Day and Columbus Day. And normally they also, the governor usually gives the state employees another day off at Christmas time for Christmas Eve. But so it's very comparable to the state.
Okay.
Just a question, Mr. Baker. Obviously, as important to the council that our clerk is, I'm wondering if we should not have the holidays for the clerk of the council to mirror the council holidays.
Well, you could make that amendment.
The clerk,
you're going silent again, Robbie.
The clerk is out of order. I will entertain a motion to accept the schedule as presented by Mr. Baker.
Second.
I'll accept the motion for Mr. Cole, second for Mr. Wilson. Any discussion? Not, we'll take the vote. Ms. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Vincent?
Oh, you look
with reservations?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried. Thank you, Mr. Baker.
Thank you. The next item is Emergency Operations Center update. And we have with us today Mr. Joe Thomas, who will bring us up to date on the dispatching at our EOC.
Good morning. Mr. Baker asked me to come before you this morning to brief you on the operation that's currently taking place out to the 911 center. You have a memo in your packet. We started last Tuesday. We started taking Kent County's 911 calls along with Sussex County's 911 calls. Kent County's having new phone equipment installed in their center in Dover, and as part of this, what they did is they actually routed the 911 calls from Kent County down to our center. We currently have 6 Kent County 911 center employees working in our center that have been there since last Tuesday working their normal shifts. It's a seamless operation. They're all in the same room. Things are going very smoothly, and we're handling all the Kent County fire and EMS and law enforcement 911 calls that are coming in, as well as our own. So Mr. Baker wanted me to come before you and brief you on that. Actually, this evening, or actually 2 a.m. tomorrow morning, the official cutback to Kent County will take place. The new phone equipment's in place. And that'll bring their phone equipment up to the same level as we currently have, which was installed 2 years ago when we moved into the center. And what this does is allows the centers to basically, it allows some backup and redundancy, because we can, in a case of a catastrophic event, if one of our centers has to relocate, we've got the ability to move back and forth. In fact, on October 10th at about 9:30 a.m., which was a Sunday morning, Newcastle County tested their switch to throw the calls. And we took calls for approximately 1 hour for Newcastle County. And we took fire and EMS calls as well as police calls. So the system works very well. We were chosen to support Kent County because we've got the spacing and capability to do that with our current layout of our center. So Mr. Baker wanted me to come before you today and just brief you on what has taken place in the last week.
So all three counties have that capability. Anytime one shuts down,
yes,
any other counties can handle the whole workload, or one county could handle everybody's workload.
Yes.
Possibly.
If one of the centers had some sort of equipment malfunction, building problem, something where they had to relocate, we can transfer or route the 911 calls from that particular jurisdiction to another center and then relocate those employees.
Interesting. Okay, good.
We currently have three backups in place. Our first backup is Seaford Police Department. It's quick. We can get there in about 20 minutes, and it's real feasible for us. If it's a long term, like this particular scenario, our first backup would be Kent County, and then our third backup would be Newcastle County.
Mm-hmm. Greeny?
Thank you, sir. Yep.
Thank you. Yep.
The next item we have is manufactured housing tax plan update, and we wanted to bring you up to date. Last week, Mrs. Webb, Katrina Mears, our collection manager, is here today. Amanda Bennett, and Eddie Parker, and myself met with representatives from the different school districts in Sussex County. This meeting was requested to discuss some ideas to improve our tax collections with the school districts. And Mrs. Mears put together a PowerPoint to explain the proposal to the school districts, and we'd like for Katrina to present that to you today. Thanks.
And as we warm up here. Good morning. As Dave said, we met with several school district leaders on October 15th to discuss some unique challenges that we have in collecting the property tax on manufactured homes. And what we wanted to do was to work together with the school districts to develop a collaborative relationship between us and them in the resolution of uncollectible property tax related to specific classes of manufactured homes. And this isn't all classes of manufactured homes, it's just two, and we'll talk about those two classes in just a little bit. Our goals for that meeting were to define our current situation. Where are we today? We wanted to present a standard proposal for resolution to them, talk about a specific scope of authority for the county, and obviously obtain their agreement and implement this process. Our current situation, just a little bit of background about where we are today. Manufactured homes in parks and manufactured homes that are on the lands of others are our biggest challenge in collecting past due property tax. Our interest when the taxes become delinquent is on the home itself and not the land. Many times this land is either leased or rented, as the case with a manufactured home park. Our county has refrained from doing goods and chattel sales in the past for several reasons, the cost, the returns, and what are we going to do with all those items, and what are we going to do with all those trailers if we do decide to sell them. Lastly, we have refrained from selling any home where the manufactured home or any other type of home where it is the current record of residence, where it's their primary residence. We don't want to put anyone out on the street. Another challenge that we face is that the sales of mobile homes are not as stringently managed as land sales. Manufactured homes have titles. Some of the sellers do owner financing where they will retain the title until the buyer pays in full. Another challenge that we face is that these homes are mobile. Sometimes they are pulled out of the parks. Sometimes they're destroyed without our knowledge. Sometimes they're pulled out of the parks and placed in areas where a title is not required, such as the state of Virginia. Mortgage companies are another challenge that we face. If a mobile home or manufactured home is turned back to the mortgage company, a lot of times the mortgage company will remarket that home and sell it to a new owner, and there will be a huge tax balance, and sometimes the owner's aware of it, sometimes they're not. And then they are then faced with, I've paid X amount of dollars for a new home, and now I'm faced with X amount of dollars in property tax. And again, we're not talking about mobile homes that have not paid their taxes in 2010. We're talking about mobile homeowners that have not paid their taxes over many, many years. Our proposal with the school districts, is that we would like for them to give us the authority to act on the resolution of uncollectible property tax for manufactured homes that are in parks and manufactured homes that are on the lands of others, following a specific and documented scope. Our resolution options will be handled case by case according to the procedure. And what this means is we're not going to go out to everybody and say, hey, we have a great offer for you. We want to handle these as they come up or as we find out about them. And our scope, what we want to be able to do is to be able to act on the resolution of these outstanding taxes when we have certain situations. Those situations are the manufactured home is abandoned in the park or on the lands of others. Sometimes we'll find that someone will come along, buy a large tract of land, and there will be a mobile home that's sitting on that land that's been sitting there for years. We had one recently that Eddie went out and visited that there was actually a tree growing up in the middle of the mobile home. No one had lived there since the person had purchased the land, but it had continued to accrue property tax over a large number of years, and the previous owners were long gone. We do have certain circumstances in mobile home parks and when an owner owns and leases land where a manufactured home could be reconditioned or remarketed and then sold to someone else that will hopefully pay their property tax. In that case, sometimes the property tax and the penalty that's due outweighs the value of the home. So we have been approached in the past by some manufactured park owners that say, if I can sell this home for $3,000, can you help me out with some of the penalties so that we can get somebody else in there? If we don't follow through and allow that to happen, what ends up happening is the mobile home park owner can then go to the JP court, obtain title because the home is abandoned in their property, on their property, and then demolish the home and we get nothing. So we feel if we have the ability to work with these park managers and say, okay, we can adjust some of the penalty, we can help you out a little bit if we can get somebody living in this home. Otherwise, again, we face getting nothing. And that has happened. I met with Mark Walker's Mill, met Walker's Mill Mobile Home Park and Walker's Meadow last week, and they have some homes that have just been pulled out. They're gone. They've been demolished, and we still had them on our rolls. And obviously, we want the manufactured home, if we're going to adjust the penalty, adjust the tax, we want the manufactured home to be in such a state of disrepair that the only option is to demolish it. Some of our future efforts are, some of the park owners that we're working with are saying, hey, we want to clean up our parks so that we can get good tenants in there that will be paying their taxes. We're currently working with some of the park managers to review the homes that may meet these conditions and to brainstorm some ideas on how to prevent some future problems. Again, I mentioned that I met with Walker's Mill. They were the first park that we chose to meet with because of the percentage of delinquency that is in their park. Some parks now require a copy of the title before a lease can be granted, and that is one thing that when we met with Walker's Mill that they are doing. We have looked into the possibility of exploring legislature that will require park owners to obtain a copy of paid property tax at each lease renewal. I talked with Newcastle County, and that's something that they have explored a little bit in the past. Obviously, they don't have the same delinquency that we do with manufactured homes, but that is an option for them as well. And again, we're diligently working to review the tax records and past due properties to ensure unpaid taxes do not reach this stage in the future. Eddie Parker's area has been working very closely with me. I work very closely with Susan Walls. She is the manufactured home queen. She knows everything about these parks and park owners, and she's been very helpful in identifying homes that we think no one is living in any longer. The last stage, we had provided the school district leaders with just a letter of agreement asking them to agree to help us with this. And we did receive feedback already from Milford and Sussex Tech saying that, you know, we agree, go ahead and make these decisions when these conditions apply.
How long ago did you make this request to these school districts?
To meet with us?
Yeah. I'm just curious.
Last week, wasn't it?
Just a week or so? Okay.
Oh, this is all just.
Oh, this is just, okay.
We met last week,
okay.
Yes.
They were very supportive of it.
Very supportive.
We talked first with Dr. Carson from Woodbridge, and he was very instrumental in bringing the superintendents together at a superintendents meeting and kind of bouncing the idea off of them first before we met.
But you only have two that have agreed. That's just because of the timeline, not because there's any hesitance.
That's correct. Some of them were able to agree that day. Milford, I think, signed the letter.
Well, they had already had their meeting because we had sent a letter requesting this, so they already had their meeting when they brought it to the board, so they were ready. Others have to wait till their meeting's scheduled. Often it's monthly.
So it'd be a month or more before we see everybody. Mm-hmm.
Mr. President?
Yes, Mr. President.
One suggestion for some potential legislation. Have we explored the possibility of working with DMV so that any time a title is transferred on a mobile home that they get evidence that the county taxes are paid?
I believe that is something they're supposed to do anyway, but in discussions that we've had just kind of hashing this out, that doesn't always happen.
Right.
They will sometimes allow those titles to be conveyed without evidence of paid taxes.
Okay, because one of the problems I know that many times we see in doing real estate closings that we'll find mobiles that they actually, it's changed hands and it's been done by bill of sale only, and the people have actually never gone to the motor vehicle to get a new title.
And we
so
have
that,
that
creates
situation,
a problem.
We have that situation a lot.
And liens, I know we place liens on the in sewer delinquencies and things like that. Liens won't work so well on this situation?
In this situation, the only thing that we're able to lien is the home itself.
Right.
And in the situations we're talking about, some of these owe an outrageous amount of property tax, and the home is not even worth.
Right. Is there any, ever,
yes,
still stand with the lien department? Because liens seem to have some weight when certain things are happening, right? Is it possible to link the property owner?
I don't believe so, because it's a different property owner. If it were a Class C, and that's a case where we're not having the problems, because if it's converted to a Class C, that's someone who owns the land and owns the home on it. That's a different situation. But once it's the mobile home on property of the others, I don't believe that you can lien that property owner. You can just lien that chattel. And it doesn't quite have the same weight as if you bought a mobile and you had a lien placed on it at the time you bought it by the lender. The title's actually marked. In this case, by placing a lien, that title is not marked with a lien. So again, they go to transfer it. It's not showing up on the title.
Well, what you just suggested that this legislation, you're saying it's in the works in Dover now. Somebody's up there.
Oh,
is there
no.
a bill out there floating around?
It's
people
not
look
necessarily
at?
In the works. They have discussed it as well.
Well,
they
means,
don't have
yeah.
the issue that we have down here with the delinquency. So when I very first started, I was reaching out to some of the other counties to say, tell me what you do. And that was one thing that was mentioned at Newcastle, that they have explored it. It has not gotten anywhere as of yet.
Well, that appears to be the best solution, I think, if there was state legislation requiring certain things to happen. Is there a way, Dave, that we ought to be approaching or sending our lobbyist, Mr. Godwin?
What Katrina suggested is the possible legislation that would require park owners to attain a copy
right.
of property tax at lease renewal, which some are doing anyway as
right.
a matter of policy. But we can pursue that if the council would like to.
Well, that would plug some of the holes. It's not going to get them all, right?
Yeah.
Right? But it would take, you know, X number of them, maybe catch up on X number of them, but you're saying we go back, what, 10 years more? More than 10 years on some of this stuff?
More than 10 years, yeah.
Yeah, that's crazy that we've allowed it to get you know, fester that long, so we need to get on top of it and figure out what would be the solution or a number of things that would work.
Well, we could bring back to the council proposed legislation.
Well, that's one thing, but I mean, but
maybe
you just talk about, yeah, I mean, there's other things. Maybe we ought to come up with a plan that will include this legislation, state legislation, plus maybe whatever else is needed to do the job. So,
look,
I mean,
Mr. Moore's suggesting with motor vehicle, requiring motor vehicle.
That'd be an excellent one. That'd be another way to plug many, many holes.
Shucks, we got people listed to these mobile homes. They don't even Delaware tag. They don't even pay Delaware tax on their cars. So, I mean, it's almost impossible to do those kind of things. Start with, it's almost like getting blood out of a turnip, as far as I'm concerned.
What is, to get the taxes?
Sure, these people's got homes that's almost worthless. I mean, if you went there and put a lien against them, you got more time and lien into the thing. I'm not trying to say let them get off with it, but what else can you do?
One of the other important things in this issue is when like, the tree was growing through the mobile home. If it's not, it sits there and it accrues taxes at 18%, inflating what is not going to be collected. So as the issues come up and there is an uninhabitable mobile home, specifically what Katrina and Eddie will be targeting, to get them off the rolls so that number doesn't keep growing and growing and growing, get someone on the property that will pay their taxes, and then the school districts and the county benefits. And that was the main purpose of this,
the
thing uninhabitable.
The thing, too, to keep in mind is that we're not talking about this being a long-term effort. We have a specific group with amounts that we want to focus on. It's not everybody that lives in a mobile home.
No.
It's those people that meet this condition where the home has accrued so much in back taxes that it's not worth it. It may not even be there. Or, you know, the people are long gone. We are really, really trying to make a concerted effort to work with the park owners to say, hey, we want to help, you know, help us help you. One of the things that we're working on is putting the ability for them to send us their roster of who lives in their parks online. That will save them so much time, where they can just go in and update that information, which is a requirement today. So we're looking for ways to make it easier for them to give us the information that we need so that these people that miss 1 year, you know, we can go to them before they get to the point where they're 10 or more years behind where they can't dig themselves out.
So, yeah, I was just writing down here, cross-checking names. I would think that we have names associated with these delinquent taxes on these units.
Mm-hmm.
Do the taxes run with the unit or run with the people's names? I mean, does it follow them through the rest of their financial problems or issues and ownerships of different things? In other words, if somebody's got, you know, Joe Smith and his wife own a mobile home and are way back in taxes, but they haven't lived there in years, is there a connection to, like, and then they're living somewhere else in another mobile home? I mean, is there a way that you go back to the names, or is it the unit? I mean, I'm trying to say, Everett, can you follow the name through the system? And I'm sure you could cross-check, you know, Joe Smith and so-and-so. Are they on any other tax rolls, and we could go find these people?
And that is one thing that we do. When we look at the names, we do try and match them up to anything else that's here in
right.
the county, because we can file a lien, a notice of lien, that would, if they sold any other property in the county, we would get a priority on that sale. I don't believe
that's
we're
correct.
In first priority with a notice of lien as we are on lien on the property, but we do, yes, do try to follow these people and find out where they are. The other thing that we're trying to do is find out where some of these people are employed and do a
right.
wage attachment. The problem with that, with these classes of mobile homes, is that some of these people are already stretched to the limit.
Well, yeah.
And, you know, we're not able to get anything from a wage attachment.
Or but just it, gone.
Or just gone.
Just
well,
gone.
Right. But at least we would find out something about them. I mean, we start after somebody, I guess, or a family or, you know, a couple or whatever, and find out what their status is. And if they can prove that they haven't owned it for, and it's been, you know, they left it years ago. And, I mean, then we can strike them off and stop chasing them. But we need to eliminate, I guess, some of these names if there's a lot of names.
And that's exactly what this plan entails, is that it's not just we're just going to write something off. We do go through a process where, first of all, do they have any other property? Somebody goes out and visits to see, is it actually gone? Is it actually in that condition before we make this decision? And then there are certain circumstances with this owner financing that some of these do, where we can find the original owner whose name the property is in, and then we also have the person that's living in the property.
Mm-hmm.
So we go after the person that accrued the initial taxes and then get the person that is living in the property now on some kind of plan to get caught up.
Sounds like quite a challenge.
How often do you send delinquent notices?
I don't actually send out delinquent notices. The tax office does that.
Well,
they send
three.
Them.
November,
quarterly,
February,
or?
And then it comes down around again. So
about four times a year. Well, see, to me, we're not careful. We're going to lose money on this deal because we're got all this labor involved in sending these notices, sending out stamps and everything else, and here we're getting nothing. So what I would suggest is after a year and a half or something, we haven't heard a word, we should find out these houses are there. If they're not there and they're not living in them, then write the thing off.
And I don't disagree.
Quit wasting time here.
I absolutely agree. The thing is, we haven't done that so
yeah.
far. So now we have this group of people that owe $5,000, $6,000, $7,000, $8,000, $9,000, $10,000
sure.
that we've got to focus on getting off our books.
Yeah, it's important that we get to the truth of the matter when it comes to what's owed and what's not practically collectible. I mean, the school districts have a hard enough time budgeting, much less, you know, banking on money that just simply is not there. This is another positive example of why we hired you. I appreciate it very much, and the council is glad that you're working on this diligently. Mr. Cole, if I hear you right, you want Mr. Baker to come back with a set of recommendations?
Well, it sounds like it's a combination of state and some and a policy here at the county level and some state maybe legislation that would maybe, you know, focus in on this, and then, like, as Sam alluded to, we ought to have a policy right now on current, you know, manufactured housing taxpayers, that here's what's going to happen is after a year and a half or after whatever the time period is that, we're going to start this investigational start. So I'd like to, you know, come back and have, you know what's wrong and try to attempt, and because it does sound challenging, to come up with three or four things that might help fix it. May not fix it all, but it might fix it better than what we got, because what we got is broken,
okay.
It sounds like.
Sure. I think Mr.
No. Thank you.
So a letter, just
sure.
a consensus, I guess, to do that?
Mm-hmm.
Without objection. Thank you very
Thank
much.
You.
Good job.
A
The last item is the county administrator's report, and the first item is Airport Advisory Committee. The county's Airport Advisory Committee will meet this Wednesday at 7 o'clock at the EOC in Georgetown, and we have a copy of the agenda. Prescription drug discount card program attached is a report regarding this program, which includes activity through September. As per the report, users of the discount card received discounts totaling almost $20,000 during September. 337 prescribed drugs were issued. This card is available for anyone. There's no cost to it, and we have it available here at at the county administration office, as well as various other locations, including the various libraries in the county. Election year contest. We would like to again remind students and parents of the election year contest, which is open to any student through kindergarten through 12th grade who is from Sussex County and attending school. Each participant is asked to predict the outcome of elections here in Sussex County and across Delaware, and the student with the most correct guesses will win a $200 scholarship with five runner-ups, which will each win $100. And this is all available online, and the address is noted. And entries must be received by 7 a.m. on Election Day. And then the next item, holidays, election week. As in previous years, Sussex County offices will be closed on Election Day, November 2nd, as well as Return Day, November 4th. County offices will be open on November 1st, 3rd, and 5th from 8:30 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. The County Council will not meet on November 2nd, Election Day. The next regularly scheduled meeting of the County Council will be on Tuesday, November 9th at 10 a.m. And one other item that's not on the list is today's Mrs. Webb's birthday.
Wow. Should we sing it, Dory?
Happy birthday to you. Oh, my.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear. Happy birthday to you.
I used to wish
Thank
I could
you.
Sing.
Thank you. I feel
I wish
honored. I really do, because I don't believe I've ever heard the county council sing to anyone.
No. So.
I was humming. I was humming.
Thank you.
Now we know why.
I know. Let's hope no other birthdays fall on a Tuesday.
I've had the county council as crazy as we are.
That's right.
Could we revert back to holidays for employees?
You want to make a holiday for her birthday. Any questions or comments for Mr. Baker? The vast majority of the contestants who participate in an election contest that the county sponsors come in during the last week. So, Mr. Shortridge, if you would encourage your readers to participate and the other press members, I'd appreciate it. Moving on, Ms. Webb, our county finance director.
Thank you.
How old are you by now?
49.
There you go.
I wish I was 49.
Okay.
What you gonna say, Jack Benny?
Human service grants this year, they were also a challenge. I think it's a reflection of the economy at this time, with donations being down generally overall. This was the first year in a long time, or since I've been working on them, where the eligible requests actually exceeded the budget by just a little bit. But I have a plan for that. Anyway, you got your schedule in your packet, and just some notes I wanted to make for you. There were all the new requests are eligible. There were four new Boys and Girls Clubs. We have been funding a couple of Boys and Girls Clubs, but I believe this year that all the rest in the county have requested this year. There were eight that did not request, and it brought us to a total of $145,400, with our budget being $143,520, being short this year of $1,880. But what I'm recommending to cover this budget and to do a transfer from county council grants. We do have some funds there. I believe, given that there's close to 90 organizations on this list, to go back and cut for $1,880 is just not necessary. If it was $50,000 over, it'd be a little bit different. So that's why I am recommending that we cover that small shortage with from county council grants. Are there any questions on any of the individual ones?
No. Do you have a motion?
Uh-huh. Be it moved that the Sussex County Council approve payment of the human service grants as detailed in spreadsheet provided to county council.
So moved.
Second.
I have a motion and a second to approve the human service grant request as presented by Ms. Webb. Any discussion? Not, we'll take the vote. Ms. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Vincent?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carries.
Thank you. My next item. I have two loan resolutions today. I'm going to kind of do those together. One's for the Inland Bays Regional Wastewater Treatment Plant expansion, and the other one's for pump station number 30. I need to take you back to June. If you remember, we did a resolution to allocate our recovery zone economic development bonds of $16.6 million we can use for our own projects. And we did a resolution on June 8th, and we allocated our credits to these two projects. One of the requirements for this was is to close these bond issues by December 31st to get the credit. So what happens is when I make a debt service payment, I will be getting 45% back on the interest amount for these bonds as part of the stimulus package. These bonds will be funded by rural development, and they require individual resolutions. We have already done the debt ordinances to approve the debt for these projects to fund them, but rural development requires loan resolutions, and I will be closing in the next month. So I have a resolution to read unless there's any questions. Okay. Resolution authorizing Sussex County Council and providing for the incurrence of indebtedness for the purpose of providing a portion of the cost of acquiring, constructing, enlarging, improving, and or extending its sewer for Inland Bays Wastewater Treatment Plant for $10,475,000.
Could I get a motion to that effect?
Second.
I have a motion and a second to approve the Inland Bay Regional Wastewater Treatment Plant loan resolution. Any discussion? Ms. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Vincent?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried.
And the second one, a resolution for Sussex County Council authorizing them providing for the incurrence of indebtedness for the purpose of providing a portion of the cost of acquiring, constructing, enlarging, improving, and or extending its project known as Pump Station Number 30 for $6,400,000.
I'll make that motion.
Second, please. I have a motion and a second to also approve the loan resolution for Pump Station 30. Any discussion? Ms. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Vincent?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Webb. Mm-hmm. Mr. Godwin?
Yes, sir. Mr. President, members of council, we have one wastewater agreement for your consideration this morning. This is Sussex County Project Number 81-04, Agreement Number 918-1. In this case, the developer is Mr. Richard Boyle of Gaithersburg, Maryland, and the location will be the east side of White's Neck Road and North Old Mill Road. This will be part of the Millville expansion of the Bethany Beach Sanitary Sewer District, serving a residential subdivision modifications. The sewer connection charges in this case will total $213,416. We do have approvals from our engineering department as well as from the state's office, and we are expecting 25 days of construction. The construction administration and construction inspection costs will total $16,202.40, with a proposed construction cost totaling $108,016. I have a motion for your consideration if you'd like.
Please.
Be it moved that based upon the recommendation of the Sussex County Engineering Department for Sussex County Project Number 81-04, Agreement Number 918-1, that the Sussex County Council execute a construction administration and construction inspection agreement between Sussex County Council and Bay Forest LLC, care of Natalie Communities, for wastewater facilities to be constructed in Bay Forest Club Phase 2-1, Area Number 1, located in the Millville expansion of the Bethany Beach Sanitary Sewer District.
I'll make a motion.
Second, please.
Second.
I have a motion and a second to approve the wastewater agreement between Bay Forest Club Phase 2.1 Area 1 and the county.
How much was it?
The construction cost is estimated at $108,016.
If there's no further discussion, we'll take the vote. Ms. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Vincent?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Godwin. Mr. Stewart?
My glasses over here. It's rough to get old. Right, Susie?
I know.
Good morning.
Good morning.
We're here for a renewal of a lease agreement with some modifications. Those modifications were precipitated by a move that we made a few months back. We moved from one area within the Mid-Sussex Rescue Squad building to another area. And that move was to accommodate us and them, us being the paramedics and them being the rescue squad, to make it a better working environment for everyone. They had plans to use their upstairs building for meetings. They planned to install an exterior stairway, and it just worked out better for us to move to a different area. The area turned out to be a bit larger, and they had also approached us about paying more for rent because of the cost of electricity for their building, among some other things. So we made some modifications. Those modifications were included in a draft that was given to you all in your packet last Friday. We would like to initiate a new lease agreement with those modifications, effective November 1st through October 31st of 2011, and we need your approval to do that. Okay. Do you have any questions about the terms and conditions of the lease specifically?
Mr. Moore has had opportunity to.
Yes, Mr. Rutt in my office reviewed the changes with Mr. Stewart, gave him a letter of approval, and went through all the changes that were suggested.
What's needed, Mr. President?
Do you have a motion, Mr. Stewart?
I do. Be it moved, Sussex County Council approve a revised lease agreement for Paramedic Station 106 between Sussex County Council and Mid-Sussex Rescue Squad Incorporated for a period of 1 year from November 1, 2010 through October 31, 2011, as per the terms and condition of the lease and memorandum of agreement.
So moving.
Where's this station at?
Long Neck, just north of Route 5 and 20.
I read, I didn't put on there, I don't think, the name.
Motion from Mr. Vincent.
Second
from Ms. Deaver. Any other discussion? I will take the vote. Ms. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Vincent?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried. Thank you, Mr. Stewart.
Thank you very much.
Mr. Izzo?